magical abilities.
They were wearing a glamour, like Felix was, though theirs was to make them look like elves, whereas Felix's was just to make him look like anyone other than Felix Campbell. To everyone watching, it just looked like a small group of unrelated people all going to the library. Moving inside, he saw the dryads up ahead. They were moving toward a number of seats in front of a small cafe. Detective Torres had picked this location and this time for some reason. She had been very explicit about the exactness of it. In the corner of the cafe was Detective Torres, clearly trying to fend off a man's attention. She was sitting with a newspaper and a cup of what was likely not coffee. Before Felix reached her, she said something that made the man leave quickly. Except, not far away, a few other men sat watching her as well. Felix walked over to the cafe and bought a cup of coffee with a small bag of donut holes. Without a word, he sat down at the same table as Detective Torres. He clicked his tongue and took a sip of his coffee.
"So, do they always hover around you like flies?" Felix asked, enjoying the popularity his build-up had given her.
Growling, Torres pointed a finger at him.
"Don't you start with me, Felix. I admit I should have read the damn contract, but this is just ridiculous. I got told my ID was fake when I tried to buy some beer last night. I apparently don't even look 21, she said.
"Well, kinda. I mean, you're definitely eye-catching now, and you look really young, but I'd say you're probably 21. Maybe. Could possibly be jailbait if you don't get your clothes and makeup right," Felix said with a shrug. "Now, what do you want me here at this exact time for, detective?"
"I'm not a detective anymore. And are they following you on purpose?"
Torres said, her eyes not leaving Felix.
"Yeah, bodyguards. No one will recognize me except you, but still. And yes, you are a detective. Mine. My detective Torres. Shall we continue now?"
Edith flipped open her newspaper and pulled out a single piece of paper. She then set it down in front of Felix.
"It isn't just one location this was happening at. There have been multiple ones, all over the city. Sometimes at the same time, others over different days," said Torres.
She pointed to a column on the paper.
"These are all the days something happened, and these are the locations they happened in. These are the times they happened at. That kid helped me track down a number of them."
Felix pulled a donut hole out and popped it into his mouth. Chewing slowly, he read over the data sheet.
"In other words, it's more than one person, or more than one group of people. Did you make any headway on that part?"
"Not yet, but that's why you're here. This is one of the locations. Right out there, in fact."
Torres pointed out a window behind her with her thumb. Glancing that way, Felix could only see a mass of beastkin assembling.
"Yeah, I know. The times for this particular activity seem to always be when someone is using the venue. Easier to slip into the mob, I would imagine," Torres said. "That one is your fault, by the way."
"My fault?"
Felix asked, pulling out another donut hole.
"That mob of beastkin. Everyone is well aware of the shenanigans we're pulling with the voting blocks. It's made plenty of people angry at us, let alone the contracts we dumped. Did you know some businesses haven't had their trash picked up in a week? You have no idea how much trash a coffee shop makes."
Felix chuckled at that and shrugged.
"Considering we've put the entire thing squarely on Blake, I'm sure he's up to his neck in this."
"Wouldn't know. I'm just doing my job and keeping my nose to the ground."
"And a great job you've done, Detective. After this, we'll have to see if we can't get you in charge of an internal police force."
"You really think anyone is going to listen to me as a police chief when I look like this?"
Torres asked.
"To be honest, you're pretty enough that I imagine many men will do what you want based on that alone. Otherwise, with me as everyone's boss, yeah, I think so. I'll just make it clear I'm the one appointing you. Then I can have a private word with anyone who has a problem with it and offer them the sausage chute, the walking papers, or getting on the train," Felix said. "Not many options for them."
"Sausage chute?
You haven't seen or heard of the powers?"
"Shut up," Torres said suddenly. "Armed gunmen. 5 of them. They're moving through the library and heading straight for that organized chaos behind me."
"Seriously?" Felix asked.
Before he could go to tap his communication device, someone started yelling orders at him to put his hands up. In about 10 seconds, Felix, his bodyguards, and Edith were all being led out into the venue behind the library. Men with rifles were there as well, rounding up all the beastkin into groups. The closest guard moved away from Felix and started to talk to another one. Taking the opportunity for what it was, Felix tapped his communication device and covered it with a cough. There was no response. He just got dead air. Not even a transmission signal.
Jammers. They're placing them everywhere, murmured Torres. This isn't just a robbery. This is a statement.
Felix could only watch as the gunman went from rounding up the mob of people to sitting them down in orderly lines on the ground, quickly separating out human from non-humanoid.
Felix, they smell of anger, righteous anger,
said a beautiful green-horn dragon maiden next to him.
And faith magic,
said the pretty red-horn dragon next to the green.
A lot of faith magic.
Shit. Is this a straight-up hate crime? It feels like they're sorting them out to make sure it's only non-humanoids on one side.
The dryads were slightly off to his left, the elves right next to them.
The elves can hear us, and we can hear them,
whispered the green dragon.
The dryads believe they can kill Hef, but after that, it will turn into a bloodbath.
Felix didn't say anything. Instead, he pressed his right shoe up against his left. It was an awkward pose, one no one should ever find themselves in. It looked and felt like he had a stick up his ass and was trying to get off it. After giving the full 10 seconds Felicia had told him to wait, Felix finally moved his feet apart. The extremely strong signal from the chip she'd put in every single pair of his shoes should now be transmitting his distress.
I've signaled the rest, Felix said.
You two, get over there with the rest of the humans, said one of the men with a gun.
He grabbed Felix and Torres, then began leading them away from the rest. Felix was separated from his guards, but he wasn't concerned. It had been a week or so since he'd returned from Vince's world. The dryads, dragons, and elves had been working extensively for rescue situations, which this was clearly rapidly becoming. Feeling like the helpless citizen he was pretending to be, Felix waited. He kept watching the men with rifles. They seemed nervous, but trained. Then a shot rang out. Chapter 25. Chasing Your Tail. One of the gunmen dropped to his knees, then slumped to one side. The shot had come from the crowd. Someone was attempting to play the hero.
Shit!
Knowing what would come next, Felix dropped down to the ground and lay perfectly flat. He wasn't about to take a random stray round when the inevitable happened. By the time a third shot rang out from the crowd, the gunmen were running. But even as they went, they leveled their rifles at the crowd. 6 men with automatic rifles emptied their magazines in 3 seconds into a tightly packed crowd of non-humanoids. They literally hosed the crowd down. Everything became pandemonium then as people rushed away from the gunmen to try and get to safety, or hit the ground where they stood, fainted, shot, or otherwise. In the mad chaos of the situation, people went running in every direction. Nearby, Felix saw one of the jammers explode into a fiery mess for a few seconds. Not sure which elf did that, but I'll need to reward them. When it was clear the gunmen weren't going to be coming back, Felix got to his feet. He pulled out the earpiece from his wrist device and crammed it into his ear. Glancing down at the screen, he tapped it for a conference call, quickly flipped Chris, Lily, Victoria, and Kit onto the list, and then hit the call button.
We should leave now,
said one of his dragons.
We're following them. Get moving.
Felix pointed the way the gunman had gone. Then he looked to the elves.
Stay here and help the wounded and police the body of the dead gunman. The rest of you are going with me.
The green dragon was already moving at a quick trot, chasing after the terrorists. She hadn't needed to be told her orders twice. Felix started after her, and the 2 dryads, dragon, and Detective Torres ran with him. Then the line started ringing and was instantly picked up.
Felix?
Kit asked.
Is ever-
Felix?
Lily cut in.
Are you okay?
Victoria got in somehow.
What's wrong? I got the-
Chris started.
Everyone stop, Felix said. I'm fine. There was an incident just now at the Civic Center. Gunmen fired into the event, and there's probably a lot of dead beastkin and non-humanoids here. Send what resources we can spare to help out. My bodyguard detail and I are in pursuit. My tracker is active. Kit?
Yes, all right. I'll see what we can do about getting resources there, Kit said.
Great. I think this is going to be a public relations nightmare. Lack of security, lack of emergency responders, whatever may have you. Lily? Felix asked.
They were turning off from the green fields behind the venue and onto a side street. He could see his dragon up ahead of him moving at an easier pace now.
Maybe they slowed down.
I'll handle it. I'll have this spun up as a lack of planning on Wall's part, that their pressuring of Legion was behind a disappearance of resources that were once able to keep the city safe,
said the villainous lawyer whom he loved. Great. Victoria, I need you to get on this. One of the gunmen got dropped. I need that body picked up and we need to pick it apart, Felix said.
On it, said the swordswoman.
She sounded cheerful. Her mood had been incredibly positive ever since their dinner.
Chris, I need you and Goldie, and whoever you need to bring with you, Felix said.
We'll be arriving with the dryads and some elves,
Chris said firmly into the line.
Goldie,
Chris shouted.
Get your head out of his closet. He needs us.
What?
Goldie shouted back.
Let's go then.
We need the dryads and the elves,
Chris said. Chris, you need to close the line, Felix said.
Fine, I'll get them,
Goldie shouted back.
It was obvious neither Chris nor Goldie could hear him as they continued to shout back and forth about their plans.
It's okay, Lily said. I'll handle the rest.
Felix grunted and then just closed the line outright. The green dragon maiden was waiting on the other side of the road up ahead. Her eyes seemed to be tracking something in the busy, traffic-filled street.
Felix, I could briefly read one of their thoughts,
said the red dragon next to him.
You could? How?
Felix asked.
There was something around his mind that I couldn't get through, and then I suddenly could when I pushed hard against it,
said the red.
She must have snapped the protection ring he was wearing. If they're not made well, they can break.
Memorize it then, and be ready to talk about it later, Felix said, and then he got to the green. Which way?
Brown wagon thing,
the green said, pointing at a dark brown van.
All right. Need to speed up that cultural training. Seems like we have some gaps.
I've got it,
said one of the dryads, her head moving to follow the van the green dragon had indicated.
I've put a small spell on it. We should be able to follow.
Great, Felix said. We're going to stay on it.
Are you sure, nestmate?
The red asked.
We should-
It's turning. Let's go.
Felix moved forward quickly. All conversation fell off as everyone moved with him, walking along the sidewalk. It took a considerable amount of patience as the van didn't move through traffic all that quickly. Surprisingly, it eventually turned into a quiet neighborhood, moving off the main boulevard it had been crawling along.
Why aren't we turning?
Asked the green as they crossed the street, rather than chasing it in.
Because the sign says no outlet right there, Felix said, which means that van isn't coming back out.
Oh,
said the red.
That's good to know.
Stopping at the other side of the entry street, Felix made a show of looking at his wrist device.
And if we followed them right in there, it's very possible they'd notice or realize.
They've turned again,
said the dryad, who had put the spell on the van. Her head was turning, as if she could still follow it deeper into the neighborhood.
Yeah? All right. Seems like maybe we can go in then.
Felix let his hand fall back to his side.
What exactly are you planning to do?
Asked the green.
Capture them. Then figure out who they are and who they're working for, Felix said.
This has nothing to do with us,
the red dragon said.
You're right, it doesn't. But in the same breath, it does. That was an attack on the voting base that is going to help spur us to victory. We need to treat this as a rallying cry, not a fearful wail, Felix explained, turning toward the street leading into the neighborhood.
I don't understand,
said the dryad without the tracking spell.
We could do that without involving ourselves, couldn't we?
If this were an isolated event, certainly. But I'm not positive it is. That was too much planning, hardware, and training, Felix said. I'd bet on this being the first of several, if not more.
That seems like what Lily calls your paranoia surfacing,
said the green dragon.
Probably not wrong, but I'd rather waste some time making sure of that than pay the price later for negligence, Felix said.
I can understand that. Like making sure you've checked every pocket on the bodies before you eat them, just to make sure there aren't any gold coins on their person,
the red said.
Oh, yes. That makes sense,
the green agreed.
Right. Dragons. They've eaten people. Yes.
Moving along the smaller streets of the neighborhood, Felix felt oddly exposed. They weren't a normal group of people to begin with. Moving around in such a large party in such a quiet set of streets seemed like an easy way to get flagged by the neighborhood watch.
"Right there,"
the dryad said, indicating a squat, unassuming ranch house to the left.
"The van is in that garage."
Felix made no pretense of hiding himself. He walked straight up to the side of the house, opened the gate, and moved around into the fenced-in backyard.
"Felix, I don't like this at all," said the green dragon.
"I'm not exactly fond of it either, but we need to know. All right, any tactical plans?" he asked.
The two dryads looked at one another and then unzipped their sweatshirts, pulling out their SMGs.
"We'll go in first," said the one who had used the tracking spell. "The dragon's behind us. You're last, Felix, if at all."
"Great. Let's get a move on then."
Felix pulled a small pistol out of the holster on the inside of his jacket. He racked the slide and eased the safety off. Then Detective Torres was there. Felix had somehow forgotten about her entirely.
"None of that now," she said, taking the pistol from him.
She gave it a once-over and then held it in both hands.
"I'll keep him safe, and we'll come in last."
All four of his bodyguards looked gratified for the other woman's interference. They stacked up on the door, the two dryads in front. Stepping forward, the red dragon slammed a foot against the spot next to the doorknob. With a sharp crack, the door tore loose from its hinges and collapsed inward.
"Damn, they're strong."
Sweeping in with their weapons up, the dryads entered the house. Immediately after them went the two dragons. When Felix tried to make his way in, Torres pressed him up against the side of the house.
"Just wait. If they find anything, you'll just panic them if you're in harm's way. If they don't find anything, all the better. You can inspect it after."
A minute passed in near silence, except for the occasional door opening or closing. The green came back up and waved him inside.
"Nothing here," she said, "though it's clear they were using this place as a safe house for more than a little while."
Felix followed Torres inside and immediately agreed with the dragon's assessment. The place was a wreck and looked as if squatters had lived there. That or hoarders. It reeked of what smelled like a well-used porta-potty. Trash was piled up in neat stacks in the corners. Empty boxes of survival equipment, ammo, and what looked like gun cleaning kits were packed in those towers of garbage.
"Right," Felix said with a sigh. "We missed them? How?"
"There's an open hole in the ground in the bathroom," said the green. "Big enough for someone to go down into. It looks like they entered the sewer system from there after tunneling into a large pipe."
That'd explain the smell. "Fine. Flag the whole building for Kit and Lily to clean out for intel. I'll check everything like last time," Felix said, and then turned to the red when she rejoined them. "Now tell me what you saw in their minds."
"They were part of an organization called Humanity Pure, and had been ordered to take over the civic center."
The red's eyes scrunched up as she clearly pulled on her memories about it.
"Their goal was to kill as many of the non-humanoids as possible while making a statement about Legion and what we'd done to the voting blocks. It was supposed to take about 30 minutes.
"All right. That all kind of makes sense. Anything about backing at all?" Felix asked.
"No. There was a name floating around, though. Where they got the guns?" "At Peter Miller," the red said.
"Peter Miller?"
Felix felt like he'd heard that name before.
"Any mental image of his face attached to that?"
"Yes. I think I can do a decent job of presenting the image to someone with more creative talents who can draw it."
"Ah, we'll give it to Kit. She can make an actual illusion of the image, and we can go from there," Felix said. "I guess that's it for now. What an awful thing to do for almost no reason. Corporate terrorism is so much easier and less bloody."
Felix shook his head.
"Actual violence is pointless."
Felix sat down in the defendant's chair and unbuttoned his coat. Making himself comfortable, he reached out for the pitcher of water and poured some for himself into the paper cup next to it.
"Are you quite comfortable, Mr. Campbell?"
asked a lawyer Felix couldn't identify. Nor did he care to.
"Getting there?" Felix said amicably.
Picking up the cup, he took a sip and set it back down. All around the edges of the court had gathered reporters, journalists, and anyone who wanted to be here to see this trial. It was a bit of a circus, to be honest. one that seemed to have grown too large for the courtroom itself. This was, of course, perfectly acceptable to Felix. It had given him a chance to really hit Blake hard. Felix settled into his chair and looked up to the justices on the bench in front of him, smiling at them. Realizing Felix was ready to proceed, the judges slowly turned their heads to his side. They were looking to Lily for direction, as she had already submitted a number of legal proceedings ahead of time for them to view her request.
"I believe you have a statement for the court," asked a judge near the far left side of the bench. "Legion moves to dispose of the case against it, as the grounds that were being used to hold the case up are no longer valid," Lily said. "And the Attorney General says?"
asked the same judge, looking at the other desk to Felix's right.
"Despite the fact that there are no longer grounds to hold them to an antitrust case, we would like to proceed regardless," said the Attorney General.
"Your Honors, by his own admission, he agrees that the case is now pointless. He's just fishing for something to use against Legion at this point. There's no point to proceed with this case at all,"
Lily argued. The judges behind the bench seemed to be considering this, talking to one another in soft whispers. Felix folded his hands in front of him, his fingers tapping against each other. There wasn't much he could do but wait. He was just the owner of the company, which meant his part was mostly to sit there and look non-threatening. This was hopefully the end of the road for Blake, though, other than the summit panel. But that had no teeth to it. It was mostly a political move, more than likely to discredit Legion and Felix. In doing that, they'd be better able to put pressure on the company and force it to do what Wall wanted. With Legion eliminating all the contracts early, they'd pushed Wall into a corner. The government didn't have a leg to stand on in court now. It meant there truly was very little in the way of problems Wall could throw at them.
"As much as I'd like to see Legion be called to task for their actions," said a judge in the middle of the bench, "we find it hard to hold them accountable to contracts they held in trust and canceled in a legal fashion."
The Attorney General muttered something under his breath and threw up a hand at the justices.
"Of course you won't hold them accountable. Maybe our dear friend Mr. Campbell has put you in his pocket as well," said the man. "I'd like to caution you to not make such slanderous remarks," Felix said, looking fully at the Attorney General, "unless you'd like for me to take you to court over it. As far as what Legion has and hasn't done, I can tell you one thing." Felix leaned back into his chair and tapped his thumb against the table. "If Legion still held the contracts for security, emergency services, and first responders, the massacre at the Green wouldn't have happened," Felix said. "Instead, Wall decided it wanted to start eliminating Legion contracts."
"Wall canceled one contract. One," said Blake, sitting just beyond the Attorney General.
"Canceled one, with plans to cancel them all. I'm sure we've all read those lovely notes sent back and forth between offices about it all," Felix said with a smile.
He'd had his people break into the servers and download everything, then feed it to the net for free.
"Don't act blameless and innocent here, Mr. Gresham. Just because you got your hand caught in the cookie jar doesn't mean you can blame those who made the cookies."
Everyone in the room was hurriedly jotting down notes as cameras swung around and zoomed in on Blake. The man said nothing, realizing any response he gave would only dig him deeper.
"Won't even defend yourself, huh?" Felix asked, standing up. "That's all right. It's not as if you could, anyways. You got rid of the Prime Minister, who had been doing right by her people, only to try and replace her with yourself."
Buttoning his top coat button, Felix picked up the paper cup and downed what was in it. Setting it back down, he smiled at Blake.
"Then you pushed Legion into a corner and got hit for it. Now all of Wall suffers for your hubris, your greed, and all I can do is wish you luck as I consider pulling Legion out of Wall entirely. I wonder how the economy would do if I did that. Do you think it would crash, maybe? Would the entire stock market implode? Or maybe not? Maybe I'm thinking Legion is bigger than it really is."
Felix sighed dramatically and shrugged.
"Or maybe I'm not, and Wall goes down hard and the economy folds. And you'll be the one to blame, Blake. You and only you. Now, if you excuse me, I'm going to leave. I don't think I want to hear any more slanderous lies from the government of Wall."
Putting his hands in his pockets, Felix casually walked down the center aisle, past everyone watching, and out the door.
"Well, that was fun. Let's see you get out of that one, Blake, because personally,
I don't think you can. In fact, I bet on this being the end of your political career.
Pushing the doors open, Felix left. Chapter 26. Hard Conversations. Andrea Prime and Adriana Prime were waiting for him when the doors to the hearing closed behind him. They were dressed up in comfortable-looking casual clothes, and they looked like any other beastkin one might see on the street. It was odd, though, now that he thought of it, he hadn't seen the Primes or their seconds in a while, not since the day he'd come back.
Then what are they doing here now, and what's wrong?
Hi, dear,
Andrea chirped happily, wrapping him up in a hug.
Hi, dearest,
Adriana said, hugging him in the same way from the other side.
Hello? Hello? What's up? Seems like you two were waiting for me, Felix said, hugging them back.
Yes, we were.
Andrea stepped back away from him.
Can we talk in the car? It'd be easier and safer for you.
Felix nodded and gestured down the hallway toward the exit of the government building.
Of course. Lead the way, he said.
Several dragons, dryads, and elves were waiting in a circle. The dryads and elves were dressed in Legion security gear, with the dragons wearing light versions of the same. Though it looked like it'd tear apart easily if they shifted into their dragon forms. Both Andrea and Adriana looked toward Chris, Goldie, and Faith, who were in today's lineup. Goldie and Faith gave the Elex women a smile and turned to Chris, who nodded her head down the hall. One of the elves lifted a hand to her long ear, her masked face turning toward the long hallway ahead of them. They'd been training extensively on this. I wonder if the dryads helped the elves, or if Victoria and Miu stepped in to help before they shipped out to the wild wastes of Vince's world. Have we heard from Miu or Victoria at all? Felix asked. He'd left them alone since they'd left, not wanting to distract them from their duties under Vince's general, Petra.
Yes,
Adriana said.
They're doing well. They've been sending up reports about the situation. There was a probing attack by what Petra believed to be the Emperor's forces. They were turned around so strongly that they ended up leaving their wounded on the field. After that, another ambassador from the Emperor came.
Andrea was nodding her head rapidly.
Yes, yes,
she said, taking over for her twin. Around them, the dryads, dragons, and elves started leading Felix out of the building.
Petra told Victoria she thinks this will be over before it really starts. The fact that Yosemite had so many troops with modern weaponry, in this case the Legionnaires, she thinks the Emperor will reconsider before he even formally declares war.
Huh, I can't imagine Vince is the type of person to let that sit, Felix said.
Petra isn't, even if Vince was, Adriana said. Apparently, she sent a detachment of orcs to secure a kingdom that was in a civil war with the Emperor. She's going to bring them into Yosemite. She's also moved the garrison from Yosemite out and down to the southwest to secure the Emperor's southern borders against him. Now that Legion holds Yosemite, that is.
Felix nodded at that.
This Petra seems formidable.
Stepping out into the sunshine of the day as the door was held open for him, Felix kept moving. He'd learned his lessons. Stopping for any reason outside was always an invitation for a problem. He wasn't going to hide away in his house to prevent people from trying to take his life. There would be no point in living at all if one had to live in eternal fear of going outside. 5 black Legion sedans were waiting down at the curb. Moving into the middle one, Felix was surprised when everyone else left for other vehicles. Faith and Goldie often took it as an opportunity to wedge themselves against him, with Chris in the front paying attention. Chauffeur Andrea opened the door for him with a grin.
Today's different, she said enthusiastically. And I got ice cream. It's in the cup holders in the console.
Ice cream? Okay, sure.
Adriana got into the first car, moving to the far side of the bench seat. Felix took his customary position in the middle, and Andrea slid up on his other side. Both the Elex women fussed over the ice cream in the cup holders. They were testing each one to see what it was, then discussing who would get what. With a pop, the door shut, and Felix looked to the front. Felicity was sitting there with a smile. She gave him a small wave with her fingers.
Before they steal away the conversation after they figure out the ice cream, I have a request from Petra of Yosemite. She asked that all books on modern-day and past military tactics be sent to her, along with any other materials we could suggest, Felicity said. I noticed there was no skill book for military tactics in our library. For now, I've approved the transition of a digital reader pad and a copy of every book I could get my hands on that fit her requirements. I'd like to create a skill book that would transfer all that over to her on its own, though.
Felix frowned at that. Petra was already a formidable general, as far as he knew. Then again, giving her more isn't going to hurt me. Will probably help. All right. Put it on the point calendar and allocate it accordingly. If the same time limits apply like they used to, I should have an open window to use my ability in a day or two, Felix said. The driver's door opened, and Andrea got in. Settling into her role, she tuned them out and acted as if they didn't exist. Andrea set a small container of ice cream into his hands and pushed a spoon into his mouth.
Here, dear, chocolate, she said happily.
You should probably move on to your conversation, Felicity said, sitting forward in her seat again. We'll be moving shortly.
Oh, yes, you're right. Thank you, Fel, Adriana said.
Felix felt like he should be surprised at the nickname, but he realized he wasn't. Thinking about it, it made sense. She vanished with me and came back with me. There was no change in the status quo while she had me cornered and alone. If anything, they all probably trust her at this point. That was her opportunity to make a move, and she chose not to.
We're not going to stay here,
Andrea said, reaching over to pat him on the knee.
We're leaving.
What?
It just isn't safe for us as primes, or for our seconds,
Andrea continued.
Adriana and I are going to move into our new home on Legion Prime. Our seconds are already there,
Adriana said,
so it won't be like we're alone. We'll still be connected to the A-Net, but only our others will remain here.
Oh, that makes sense, I guess, especially if they're nervous about the current situation. To be fair, the tension and air around Legion HQ and new and old Legion City has been a touch oppressive.
Will you move with us? Lily said she would come if you did,
Andrea said, making firm eye contact with him.
Felicity said she already set up everything. The houses for the inner circle, the bodyguard barracks, the dragon vault, nursery, grove, everything.
Glancing to the front seat at Felicity, he paused before asking her about that. She had a map on her pad and was holding it to the side. She'd predicted his wishes once again. He was able to see the entire thing as it was laid out there. It was exactly as Andrea had said. Felix nodded slowly. Now that he really thought about it, he recognized the feeling of having been under siege for a long time. Then he thought about the manse and open life Vince enjoyed. Felix had felt envious of it. And now he could live it. It's not as if anyone will have a sniper rifle on Legion Prime. Not to mention we can erect mage walls, shields, force fields. No one could tell us no or cite regulations. All right, Felix said. I can't quite move yet, as my office is in Legion HQ, but let's start figuring out how we can get everyone over. The A-Net, Felicia's lab, and the vault are the three buildings we'd need immediately. As for personnel, all the department heads, their families, and everyone in the inner circle. Andrea and Adriana were both watching him with eager eyes, smiles plastered on their faces.
Yeah?
They asked in unison. Yeah. We'll start moving out of Legion HQ today. Can I count on you, Felicity? Felix asked.
Of course, replied the dark elf as she pulled the pad back to her lap. It'll be done.
Andrea snuggled in close to Felix's side and laid her head on his chest. Adriana snatched Felix's hand and held it in her own. They're so different now.
And by the way, the Royal Elves worked. We've been contacted from almost every elven enclave on the continent. I give it a week before the news spreads overseas,
Felicity added. Oh, Felix asked.
Indeed. I've sent them Legion contracts in response. If they want to join, they can sign and send them back. Then I'll ask Chris to use one of your girls to fly over a portal device so they can join us.
Great. The elves have been a great source of magical power. Lily and her people are strong, but they're so few.
To be sure, Lily and Evan are terrifying. They have a lot of combat experience, and for human magicians, they're equally comparable to senior elven mages,
Felicity agreed. So, how many are we looking at so far? Felix asked as Andrea rubbed her face against his chest, her head bumping his chin.
Elves? Something to the order of 2,000 or so? I don't think they'll all join, but it's a possibility. The elven enclave on Legion Prime is certainly going to be higher than I originally thought in priority,
Felicity said.
Suppose that'll happen when there hasn't been a royal elf on a planet for hundreds of years.
That's a lot of elves. Turning into a real melting pot of people and cultures.
Felix was sitting on the couch in his office watching television. It wasn't something he did often. The TV on his wall was off more often than not, or someone was using it to show what was on their light terminal. Watching TV always felt like a waste of time to Felix. There were always other things to do, and television felt lazy to him. Reading books took longer, but he always felt better for it. Today was an exception. Today, the results would be announced of the runoff for the Prime Minister's position. The volume was low right now, but Jessica was sitting behind the desk on the TV screen, apparently talking about what looked like an accident, or so Felix thought from the graphic next to her head. The news had slowed a bit lately. The fact that it wasn't Blake was impressive. Ever since the antitrust hearing and how it ended, Blake's political currency had been spent hard and fast, though he'd hung on somehow. Lily shifted her shoulders a bit, snuggling ever closer to Felix, her hand resting on his thigh.
"I talked to Vicky after your dinner date with her," Lily said.
"Wasn't a date," Felix said.
Readjusting his arm around Lily, he slouched a bit further on the couch to adjust for her change in posture.
"She felt it was. She also said you were a perfect gentleman. Treated her like she was the only person in the world there, despite being interrupted repeatedly,"
Lily continued. "Uh-huh. Wasn't a date," Felix reaffirmed.
"She's probably going to ask you out again soon,"
Lily said, her fingers moving up and down his leg.
"If it's a date, I'll decline it," Felix said.
Jessica was apparently gaining more traction in her network. She'd gone from doing interviews and reporting pieces to also being a lead news anchor. So far, they'd been keeping her front and center all day. She was dressed smartly and attractively. Picking up the remote, Felix flipped it to Erica's network to see what was going on there. It was always a curious thing to flip between the two. They always had the same story presented from two political views, except they were so radically different, they might as well have been different stories entirely. Erica was in a similarly upward-trending position. Both women kept getting stories that catapulted them to the center of the news.
"Preliminary results seem to be coming in,"
Lily said, as the picture next to Erica flipped to a map. The colors chosen were a dull brown for Kevin Dane, Blake's major rival, and a soothing blue for Blake.
"Any thoughts on how it'll go?" Lily asked.
Glancing down at the woman next to him, he realized her eyes were closed. She looked like she was about ready to go to bed. Small tears were forming at the corners of her eyes as she clearly fought a yawn back down.
I think it'll be exactly like Kit's people running the polls found. Kevin will win by a 10-20% majority, Felix said, lightly combing his fingers through Lily's hair. You should go to bed. It's going to be a long night after all. I kind of need to sit up and watch what happens.
Even though you're so sure of the outcome, you're still going to watch it?
Lily asked, slowly sitting up next to him.
Yeah, I kind of need to. I need to make sure we're ready to go, despite whatever happens.
All right, love. I'm gonna go hit the hay, then. Don't stay up too late.
Lily leaned in and gave him a kiss.
Soon as I know we're in the clear, I'll join you.
Good. Good night, love,
Lily said. She quickly crossed to the door, opened it, and left. Felix shifted around in the couch and got comfortable again. The door opened and Felix looked over, wondering who it was. Goldie stuck her head in and smiled at him.
"Hello, nestmate. Everything okay?"
she asked, her hair sliding over her shoulder and hanging there. Her eyes were moving around his office, as if looking for something.
"Yes, why?" Felix asked, looking back to the television.
Felix picked up the remote and turned on the closed captioning. It bothered Lily to have it on, but Felix found it preferable. Goldie walked into the office and closed the door. She was dressed in the light Legion security uniform the Dragon Maidens had adopted. She folded her hands behind her back and wandered over to him.
"It's strange for you to be alone,"
Goldie said.
"Usually Felicity, Lily, the Elex girls, or one of the potential wives are here."
Felix shrugged his shoulders at that.
She wasn't wrong.
He almost never had any time to himself in any way,
Yeah. Well, it's getting late. Most people finish up their shifts and go to bed. Legion is a company, after all, Felix said. I don't really have that luxury. I'm practically Legion itself, so I have to be working all the time. Late at night, I'm usually by myself.
Oh? Where are the on-duty bodyguards at this hour? Asked the dragon.
Her horns glinted golden as she came closer to him.
I'm only ever on the day shift.
Usually in their barracks, sleeping or resting. There's usually a few night guards outside the door, Felix said.
Yes, there were two elves and two dryads out there, and a dragon, of course. They're playing cards, Goldie said.
Turning aside, she continued to move but went behind the couch. Felix could hear her stop just behind him. Looking over his shoulder, he saw the full-figured dragon peering down at him with her bright eyes.
I don't like cards. No one could tell me why I shouldn't come in here and spend time with you, though, Goldie said.
Felix didn't have an answer to that. Instead, he looked back at the TV. Erica was gone, a large map on the screen in her stead. Districts and areas around the country were starting to report in. You're welcome to join me, Felix said. I'm just watching the results. Not exactly the most entertaining thing in the world. Goldie's hands slipped over Felix's shoulders, and her fingers started to curl into him. Her thumbs pressed into his spine and moved upward.
I've been speaking to Felicity, Goldie said, as her fingers began to push and prod at his muscles. She tells me you have intelligent women all around you. Strong women. Women who can lead without the need for someone to tell them what to do.
Felix couldn't deny that. Nor could he deny that Goldie's warm fingers were massaging his muscles in the right way.
Chris is a strong leader, and Faith is an aggressive representative for her faction, Goldie continued. Much like so many others around you. When I first realized this, I was concerned. I looked at all those women you had about and thought perhaps I'd made a mistake.
Felix sat up straight in the couch and rolled his shoulders forward as Goldie expertly tended to his back. He was only dimly watching the screen now as she spoke. Why's that? Felix asked. Erica was pointing to several places on the map now as they were colored in. Brown was slowly filling in more and more, though the blue color had won some key areas as well.
I'm a dragon. I've eaten my fair share of humanoids and battled for gold more often than I would care to remember. But I never craved it, Goldie said. I always wish to settle down and just nest. Roost. I wish to care for another and be cared for. I'm much more similar to Felicity than I am to Chris. Chris and the others all want you to fight them and win, to see you crush your enemies as you've been doing. That would tame their dragons and claim them to the point that they'd need to nest,
Goldie said.
Or for you to outsmart them, outwit them. That'd be much the same.
Makes sense, given what they are and where they came from. That human form can be deceiving.
My dragon was interested in you when you brought back Green, Karya, and Daphne. For nothing. Just because he was your brother,
Goldie said.
You could have demanded anything, asked for anything, desired anything, and received it.
Wasn't exactly complicated or hard. Cost me nothing.
It was enough for me to join your wing. From everything I saw of you in my homeland and what I've seen here in your world, my dragon has swooned,
Goldie said, her fingers pressing into his skull. Felix didn't say anything. If anything, he felt worse for the situation. He hadn't expected the conversation, and he probably should have. Lifting his head, he looked at the TV. It wasn't done, but the map showed that the majority of the population had already voted, and Kevin was the victor. The subtitles were underscoring that not all votes were in yet, and there was still a chance for Blake to pull through. The likelihood of that was extremely slim, however. Cutting from Erica, the screen moved to the face of an older man standing near Blake in his campaign center headquarters. Felix felt like the man was familiar.
Nestmate, isn't that the face Jillian saw?
Goldie asked. His mind locked up as he processed that. Felix stared at the face.
It's not the same name, though, Goldie said,
her thumbs digging into the base of Felix's skull.
But it's him, Felix agreed with her.
Cameras switched, and the man Felix and Legion knew as Peter Miller stood there, in a general's uniform, next to Blake.
Suppose that tells us who is handling the armed forces side of our problem, Felix said. Time for an all hands.
Chapter 27 All Hands. Felix was waiting in the conference room next to his office. Felicia had put it together specifically for him with a significant amount of electronic toys, bells, and whistles. While it didn't see daily use, it did get used for anything more than an impromptu meeting that was larger than 5 attendees. He was early. Very early. By about 10 minutes. It was always easier for him to be first, though. The extra time could be used to focus his thoughts on what he wanted to say. This felt like a big meeting. They'd already broken 2 of the supposed 3 pillars, and they'd identified the 3rd. This was going to be the last bit of resistance in Wall, and then Legion could exert itself again. If I did push us to the front again, I think I'd want to take Wall over completely. Or turn it into a puppet state. Playing nice-nice is what got Legion into this position to begin with. Now Legion is done playing nice-nice. If this situation turns on us and the opportunity presents itself, we're taking Wall. The door opened and Felicity walked in. She had her pad balanced in one hand, a messenger bag over her shoulder stuffed with paperwork, and a pushcart trailing along behind her in her other hand. She was dressed as she always was, beautifully put together and eye-catching. Blinking, Felicity stared at him, looking rather confused. Getting up immediately, Felix moved over to her and took the pushcart from her. In it were several coffee travelers, donuts, bagels, cream cheese, and chocolate bars.
Oh, thank you, Felix, Felicity said, letting him take it. Cutlery and the like is below.
Nodding, Felix wheeled it to the side of the entry. He quickly unpacked the cups, plates, plastic forks, and plastic knives.
Judging from the meeting agenda you sent over, I felt it'd be a good idea to get some snacks and things, Felicity said, pulling her bag from her shoulder.
And that is one of the reasons I think you're amazing. Felix picked up a blueberry bagel.
I appreciate the compliment.
Felicity moved past him and set down her messenger bag in the seat to the right of his own. She pulled her light terminal out and put it on the tabletop.
Can I get you something? Felix asked, pouring himself a cup of coffee.
Yes, please. I'll take the same thing you're having, from the looks of it, Felicity said, peering at what was in his hands. Though a bit more cream cheese than that.
Felix shrugged and added more cream cheese to the one on his plate. Then he simply gave her everything he'd already prepared and went back for another. With napkins this time, since he'd forgotten them in the first pass.
You're awfully attentive to me today, Felicity said.
Felix didn't know what to say to that. He sat down next to her and placed a napkin by her plate, then one beside his own. The door opened again, and Faith, Chris, Lily, Kit, Andrea, and Adriana all walked in.
Felicity brought treats, Felix said, gesturing toward the cart as he started breaking up his bagel into fourths.
Goody!
Andrea said happily, clapping her hands and darting to the cart.
Adriana was a step behind her, bouncing excitedly.
Felix busied himself with his bagel as more people arrived, got their choices, and joined the table.
The soft chime of his wrist indicated the time for the meeting had been reached and brought Felix back to himself. He'd been lost in the methodical chewing of his bagel as he lingered over his topics. Looking around the room, he found it was full of people. Kit, Lily, Miu, Andrea, Adriana, Iowana, Felicia, Victoria, Dimitri, Erica, Jessica, Chris, Goldie, Faith, Michael Hagland from Legion Prime, an elf I don't know, and Felicity. Seems like everyone. Welcome. This isn't our normal timing for an all-hands meeting, obviously, but given what's been going on, it felt like the right time. Felix started.
There were a few head nods around the room.
First, I'll cover a few topics I'd like to discuss, or at least reaffirm. Then we'll move from department to department, then person to person. Is there anything that needs to be stated before we begin?
Thank you, Fel, for getting snacks,
Andrea said, pausing in her attempt to swallow more than half of a chocolate bar.
You're the best.
Felix grinned.
Yes, thank you, Fel, Felix said, looking at Felicity,
amused to no end by Andrea's nickname for her.
Of course.
she murmured without looking up from her terminal as she typed constantly. First then, moving from Legion HQ. It's been put forward to start moving critical facilities out of Wall and to Legion Prime. Obviously, there are some problems with that. Not least of all, the fact that the infrastructure isn't ready for us yet. At least, not for all of us. Felix looked to Michael as the CEO of the planet. Sensing the unspoken request for an update, Michael cleared his throat.
Well, we've got wind turbines and solar panels up, as well as a small dam. We're able to meet basic electricity so far, though it's nowhere near stable for all of Legion yet, Michael said. It really comes down to how much of a footprint we want to make on the planet. We could easily throw together a coal or nuclear plant, but that's hard to move away from once we do it.
Felicia, Felix said to the dwarf. Anything you can add?
Rubbing at her jaw with a hand, she seemed to be considering the question.
Well, we could always build a big-ass version of the Fist's power cell and its solar collectors. That wouldn't take me too long to put together, Felicia said.
Think on it. With all that said, I want a few things moved to LP first.
Felicity tapped something and turned partly in her chair to look at the screen over Felix's shoulder. Glancing that way, he saw the building plans for Legion Prime.
Everything in blue has been deemed critical, Felicity said. That includes Felix's home, the bodyguard's barracks, everyone in the inner circle's personal quarters, the R&D department, HR, legal, security, and maintenance. Everything outside of that is a secondary priority or tertiary need.
Felix appreciated the quick summation. The problem, though, was that with so many priorities, they were limited by their own pool of available workers.
Now moving on to labor, Felicity continued. I put in a request with Yosemite. They have a large force of manpower that will happily work for pay. The citizenry isn't entirely made up of the military after all.
That's a solid idea. Good work, Felix said. Put it in motion and let's get them moving things. We might as well put up another portal between LP and Vince's world.
What's the name of the world?
Andrea asked with chocolate-stained lips.
It doesn't have one anymore, Felicity said. The area Yosemite is in was once called the Wastes, though.
Let's call it Yosemite,
Andrea said, nodding quickly at her own words.
Fine. Let's get a portal between LP and Yosemite. No need to have them wander through HQ if they don't have to, Felix said. Next. How's Richard and his bank?
Gone, Kit said with a shrug. Richard vanished. The bank and all its assets are gone. It's simply no longer there.
Great. And Blake? Felix asked.
He's done,
Lily said.
After that debacle with the court and the terrorist attack, he was labeled pretty badly. Last I heard, he's moving out of Wall entirely.
Two for two, then, Felix said. And that brings us around to the newest problem. Peter Miller.
Also known as Frank Cass, Kit said. 3-star general for Wall. He's been in the armed forces his entire adult life. He was closely aligned with Blake. We've got some bits of things that point this back to him, but it's not very clean.
Felix thought on that. It was something to figure out, but he didn't want to rush it.
Where we stand, then, is that we've crippled the economic backing our foes had, eliminated their political and public abilities, and have possibly identified where they're getting their offensive capabilities, Felix summarized.
That's about right,
Lily said.
By and large, we've carved out everything we identified with marginal impact to the citizens.
Let's table Mr. Cash for the moment, then. Iwana, we'll start with your department. How's our security force looking? Felix asked.
Iwana set down the donut she'd been chewing at.
Not too bad. We had a major glut of manpower after we canceled all our contracts, and there wasn't much to do. The summit is still ongoing, of course, but the amount of manpower needed there isn't going to change,
Iwana said.
The rest of our people, as well as internal security, who aren't on duty, are all in Yosemite.
Felix took that and turned to Miu and Victoria.
Miu looked healthy. She'd clearly been taking care of herself.
We're following General Petra's orders and keeping to the wall. She won't let our people risk themselves. She moved off with the army and left her lieutenant in place, a dark elf by the name of Eva, but she hasn't changed our orders,
Victoria said.
It's all quiet on the Yosemite front otherwise.
We're given a good amount of respect,
Miu said suddenly.
It's clear they're appreciative of our presence.
Good. Chris? Faith? Which of you wants to speak for the bodyguard detail?
Felix said, deciding to keep with the armed parts of Legion.
We are now 100 strong, Chris said.
The Dryads have sent over 30 to be dedicated to you. We've also picked up a handful of dragon maidens in the surrounding area that were attempting to escape notice. We now number 17.
Oh, really? That's a surprise.
They were in the area?
Andrea asked suddenly, her eyes curious. It was easy to forget. Andrea was a merc and had taken a number of contracts in her life. Goldie shrugged.
We've cleared 400 miles in every direction from this point. Some of the dragons were males, or not maidens, or simply didn't want to join. We gave them all to Layla when they decided they'd rather fight than leave.
She's a warlock,
Felicity said before Felix could ask.
Trust me when I say it's both a good and bad thing.
The rest are all elven sorceresses, Chris continued. I'm confident in our ability to keep you safe with our composition.
Felix looked at the Elex women.
How's the Aenet? He asked.
Andrea blinked and then shifted her weight around in her chair.
It's fine. We've been working on building a second command center on LP,
Andrea said, her tone changing slightly.
Adriana has taken over all of our security and tactics side. I'm handling everything else. I've reached out to Myriad to see if she'll come home. I think we could use her. We know she read the letter, but she hasn't responded. Her signal locator is still moving further away as well.
Myriad, I can only wonder how you're doing since you don't write me back.
All right. Lily, how's our magic? Felix asked.
Significantly stronger. The elves are fantastic magicians. Combined with the dryads, we have a very elite strike force. The losses we were taking from casual run-ins with master priests and their apprentices have sharply declined, Lily said. No legal concerns at this time. Everything is working as it should.
Taking that with a single nod, Felix turned to Dimitri.
And how's maintenance? He asked.
Dimitri let out an explosive sigh and spread his hands out in front of him.
The underworld is taking over everywhere, he said. From what I'm hearing, anywhere we're not entrenched or the religion of choice isn't, is falling prey to organized crime.
Honestly, that was about what Felix was expecting. Until they could get a handle on this religious dilemma, the problem would continue.
Which is why we need that summit to actually get something done. They've been sitting there for so long already. I have no idea if they think they can even achieve anything now.
Otherwise, we're fine, Dimitri said.
Kit? Felix asked.
We're seeing increased stress and tension across the board. People are deep into war weariness, and they're just exhausted, she said with a sigh. We're doing what we can to keep everyone calm and on track, but we need a break. Legion needs to somehow take a breath for a bit.
Working on it. I'm open to suggestions, of course, Felix said.
Company picnic is coming up,
Felicia said suddenly.
We'll just make it a big one. Lots of drinking, lots of food, lots of Felix getting dunked and taking pies in the face.
Felix chuckled. He wasn't going to argue. If that was what it took to cheer people up, he'd do it.
Let's make it a big one, then, he said. A picnic to remember for years. Anything else, Kit?
Not really, but I'm hearing some things from the Heroes Guild. It's gotten even worse for them. It's unlikely there will be a legally sanctioned Heroes Guild in a year.
That was sobering news. There had almost always been a guild in one fashion or another. That it was simply going to vanish was more than a surprise.
Any of the contacts I had have long since given up on me. From what I can gather, they're banding together in small groups and working in teams, though it's not looking much better for them,
Lily said with a strange smile.
In their eyes, I'm little better than a housewife. I went straight, gave up the villain life, and settled into a house with a white picket fence.
All right. How are our financials looking? Felix asked.
Painful, to be honest, Felicity said. After we broke all our contracts, our revenue took a major hit. We're not taking a loss, but our margin for error is as thin as a razor. I don't think we'll be turning large profits for a while.
We knew that'd happen, though, Felix said. Still sucks, but it's not outside expectation.
Felix turned to look at Felicia.
How's the lab?
Quiet,
said the dwarf, her mouth sporting a severe frown.
I miss Mr. White. He was a bit of a doof at times, came across as a know-it-all, and had odd moments. But he was a good and brilliant engineer. I didn't have to work half as hard when he could just swoop in with something he had already worked on or was working on.
That's quite a bit of praise,
Find a replacement for him, then. Sounds like you need a mechanical engineer to keep you grounded. Just run it through Kit and Felicity. I don't need to be in